Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for December 14th, 2020. This is Air Force veteran David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thank you for joining us this evening. In the first segment of our show this evening, our special guest is Catherine Thomas, who served in the United States Navy as a helicopter pilot, and in her current career is the executive director of an organization called Yoga for Change. And in the second segment of our show, Richard Hurley and I will have news from the VA and other veteran organizations. But first, before we get to Catherine Thomas's interview, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Good evening, Richard.
Hey, David, and good evening, everybody out there. Good evening, Catherine. Looking forward to a good show. Want to remind everybody that this is a call-in show, even though we have a guest here tonight. You may call in and talk to Catherine. You can also talk to us. The topic tonight about yoga for change involving veterans seems like a very, very good one. I'm looking forward to this interview. But that number, if you want to call in, is 1-888-627-6008. Don't be bashful. Get on the phone. Pick it up. Call us. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. Throughout the show tonight, we'll try to give that number back to you if you forgot it. But one more time, 1-888-627-6008. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. It's my privilege to introduce our special guest today on the Veterans News Hour. Catherine Thomas is the executive director of Yoga for Change, located in Florida. After serving in the United States Navy as a helicopter pilot, she began studying to become a yoga teacher. And upon moving to Jacksonville, Florida, she witnessed the need for mental, emotional, and physical healing in her new community, and started Yoga for Change to fill that void. Catherine formerly served on the board of Yoga Service Council, where she worked as a project manager and contributed to two of the best practice book series, Yoga with Veterans and Yoga in the Criminal Justice System. So let's welcome Catherine Thomas to our show today. How are you, Catherine?
Good. Thank you so much, David and Richard, for having me on. I'm very excited. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you being back on our show. I know you were on our show back in July of 2018, and I'm glad you can join us again. Let me begin by asking you about your Navy service. What inspired you to become an aviator?
Well, my father was in the Navy. He was a surface warfare officer, and back he was on the USS Dewart, and he was the XO there, and there was a Tiger cruise that we had, and back then ladies could go on the cruise during the day, and then any sort of sleepover, obviously, no women were allowed, but during the day we had a underway replenishment, sort of like demonstration, where we had helicopters that were flying, and I was able to see them, and I knew from that moment on that's what I wanted to do. And so I received an ROTC scholarship through University of Rochester, and I set my sights on flying helicopters, and I achieved my wings of gold, and it just sort of was, my father was in the service, my grandfather was in the service. I'm on both sides, actually, my brother. So it was kind of like a family affair, if you will.
Wow, that's awesome. How do you find life as a Navy helicopter pilot? Can you share some stories with us about what that was like?
Well, I love flying helicopters. Going through the pipeline to get there, you have to fly the T-34, and you got to do some aerodynamics, aerobatics. And during the aerobatics, I realized I didn't really like to go upside down and do loop-de-loops and aileron rolls and barrel rolls. It would make me airsick. So it kind of solidified my want to fly helicopters. And then going through flight school, I really enjoyed learning about the differences between our mission and capabilities and what we were doing. So I ended up flying the SH-60 Bravo, which is the Navy equivalent to the Black Hawk. We actually just searched for submarines, and so I had a blast flying the Navy. I was injured on deployment, and so one of my last flights, I will never forget, I was flying with my air boss, and the seas were purple, and our air crew in the back were trying to, you know, take some pictures and try to translate the beauty that we were seeing in the ocean. And he couldn't get the colors to come through on the camera. And my air boss said, you know, there's some things that pictures will never be able to describe. So I love flying to the Navy. I love the men and women I got to serve with. And what's lucky, I'm really lucky, my husband is still in the reserves, and so he actually gets to still fly with some of the guys that I flew with. So it's nice to, you know, put me out there coach, but then also to be on the sidelines and be supportive for him and what's going on there. So it was a great time.
Well, that's great. I was in the Air Force, and I was just a lawyer, a JAG, but I had the occasion to fly as a passenger in Hueys a few times and a CH-53 once, and I thought they were the coolest thing to be flying, you know, with the door open on a Huey,
yeah,
right next to the open side. You know, it was just the coolest thing to me. But okay, Catherine, so tell us what led you to get involved with yoga.
Well, as I said, I was injured while I was on deployment, and I lost the feeling in my left leg. And for the listeners who are, you know, a little bit about helicopters, one of the first indications that the tail rotor is about to depart the aircraft is buzzing in the left pedal. And because of the loss of sensation for my foot at that time, I wouldn't have been able to feel that sensation of, you know, right before the tail rotor, if and when it would potentially depart. So that obviously is kind of bad. And then I also lost range of motion, so I couldn't actually put equal pressure on both the pedals to stop them. So I began to hate my body because I felt like it was failing me, to be honest. And my physical therapist, I went through a lot of physical therapy, a couple surgeries just to try to correct what the initial surgeon had accidentally, you know, snipped some nerve. But my sensation and my range of motion just wasn't coming back. So my physical therapist recommended that I try yoga because imagine, you know, a female pilot, very, very active, running, surfing, biking, hiking, you know, doing everything, and then suddenly I have foot drop and I'm not able to walk without a limp. And so my physical therapist thought, you know, yoga might help this person because she's also dealing with the stress and anxiety of suddenly being told she's never flying again. And on my yoga mat, at that point, if you told me, you know, eat 4 peas on Tuesdays and Thursdays to try to get back, I would have done anything that he said.
Wow.
So I was willing to do literally anything that he said. And so he said to try yoga. And I remember on my mat, with knowing that I wasn't going to be a helicopter pilot, and trying yoga is a lot different than just trying yoga, you know, to try to help with the back pain. But thinking that this is going to be the way that I could potentially get back movement and get back sensation in my foot really, really sort of propelled me into really trying yoga. And while I was on my mat, I felt like I could actually achieve, which was something that I hadn't felt in a long time. And so that's really why I started, was because my physical therapist recommended I try.
Wow. For those in our audience who may not be familiar with yoga, could you explain what yoga is about and the different kinds of yoga?
Okay, so if you imagine it's a beautiful beach and somebody's doing, you know, pretzel postures or putting their legs behind their heads, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about breathing intentionally, like actually only focusing on your breath and moving your hands and your feet and creating strength poses. So a lot of, you know, there's push-ups in yoga, there's deep squatting in yoga, there's, you know, flutter kicks in yoga, because I know a lot of veterans, you know, we've had some of the sort of same PT practices or exercises, if you will, across the military. So there are those types of active, you know, strength-building postures, but really what I fell in love with was the fact that I was told to sit still and not think about anything. And for me, being an A-type personality, being somebody who is achieving, and very goal-oriented, setting a goal, achieving a goal, yoga kind of put everything that I thought I was, and it put it on its head. And so for me, with yoga, just being told to kind of sit still and to only concentrate on my breath in and my breath out, I didn't know at first the long-term impact that would have. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I used to walk my dogs, I'd walk my dog, and I'd be on my phone, and I'd be, you know, thinking about all my things and the, you know, grocery list of stuff to do, right? The chores, the bills to pay, you know, all that stuff, like the health, you know, the pre-flight checklist. I would go through my day tops. I'd think about my EP emergency procedures and, you know, the systems and stuff. But after I started doing yoga, when I was walking my dog, I would only start concentrating on only walking my dog. And what that did was, although I wasn't able to kind of multitask, if you will, it actually taught me how to better compartmentalize. It actually taught me how to better sort of put my work life away and be able to focus on my home life. And then it also taught me how to deal with my pain. So part of my everyday life is chronic pain, because when I fractured my foot and broke my foot and I stimped some nerves, that changed my whole gait, the way that I walked. I had a limp. So I had to basically relearn how to walk without a limp, because I, as many other veterans and many disabled veterans, I don't want to be disabled, right? Like, I don't actually want to be looked at as less than. I want to be looked at as enough. And yoga allowed me the ability to start compartmentalizing my pain and my life in a positive way, and reframing it and reshaping it. And it taught me how to sort of leave that pain and be able to focus on the pain when I need to focus on it, but then actually be able to lessen the way that the pain was sort of ruling my whole everyday life.
Wow. So there's clearly like the mental component to it. There's different kinds of yoga, as I understand it. Could you tell us what those different kinds of yoga are?
Yes. So there is as many different types of yoga as there are different ability levels, physical ability levels. So you have chair yoga, where if somebody potentially is an amputee, they're able to still participate. Wheelchair yoga, so there's, you know, yoga you can do in a wheelchair, in a chair. There's mat-based yoga, so you have the yoga mat. There's also yoga for, like, deep relaxation. So if you have trouble sleeping, or you have trouble staying asleep, or you have trouble going back to sleep after being woken up, there's specific yoga for that. And then there's also active yoga, right? So there's able-bodied veterans who aren't struggling with potential chronic pain. And there's yoga that will help, yoga for runners, yoga for athletes, and then there's really high, intense, hot, you know, hot yoga also. So it ranges based on physical ability level. And what I've found is not every yoga, I don't like every type of yoga, right? So when I first was getting out of the Navy, I needed that hot yoga where I was still sweating, because I felt like I was getting a really good workout in. But now I have a propensity to kind of do the more relaxing yoga, because my everyday life, I'm able to achieve physically by riding a stationary bike. And I want to actually have that stretching and lengthening of my muscles so that I can continue to perform longer and not be, you know, riddled with injury too. And then I have trouble sleeping. So yes, I was medically separated because of my ankle, but I dealt with actually some military sexual trauma that I just didn't report, just because of where I was in my life. And I struggle with night terrors and PTSD, and so yoga has actually been more beneficial for those non-seen injuries than emotional mental trauma. And the yoga that I use helps me deal with trauma during the middle of the night, and helps me go back to sleep and then stay asleep, which for me is really important, because I do have a child and I'm married and I have, you know, responsibilities. So not sleeping and dealing with pain doesn't lead to a really productive day the next day. So yoga's been able to help me still be productive in my everyday life and still be an active member of my family, which allows, you know, my relationships to sustain. So yoga truly, as cliche as it sounds, yoga actually has saved my life, because I don't know where I would be, honestly, without it. So it's been a really exciting ride. I never thought that I would be a yoga teacher. I always thought I'd fly helicopters, but at the end of the day, I'm dealing with life on life's terms, and yoga helps me. Yoga helps me do that.
Well, it sounds, as you've described, that yoga really is a positive force, and your organization is called Yoga for Change. I understand you have special programs for veterans, as well as for vulnerable youth, for incarcerated men and women. and for those suffering from substance abuse. Can you tell us about each of those programs?
Yes, sir. So let's, I think we should maybe talk like pre-COVID, because when we're talking here in December of 2020, yes, the vaccine is hopefully coming to all of us, you know, very soon.
Right.
But our organization, although it's still operating, it's actually expanded through COVID. Pre-COVID, we brought programs to facilities that were serving that end user. So think VA hospitals, homeless shelters that are geared specifically for veterans, military sexual trauma survivor groups, very, very specific to the populations that we're serving. We're not a yoga studio, so one of the really beneficial things for us is we don't pay rent. We don't have to worry about keeping our lights on. Most of us work from home. Unless we're teaching inside the facility. So when COVID happened, so now talking about COVID, our programs had to go fully virtual. And so 2020 has been a really exciting year because we got to create a new business line, if you will, for the business types out there. But at the same time, we're meeting students where they are, no matter where they are. So I think one of the really major ways that I fell in love with yoga was connecting with the other students and also the teacher. And we're not obviously able to do that right now, but what we are able to do is we work with a group of disabled vets who've had pretty traumatic injuries. So thinking like traumatic brain injuries, potential loss of limb. They maybe have a residual limb, but they're dealing with, you know, now being in a wheelchair or something like that. Pretty massive injuries. And even though we've had to go from in-person to virtual, we're still able to create the community. So I love teaching that class because as I'm sure both you and Richard have an idea, veterans like to kind of call each other out, right? Like,
yeah.
When I remember PTing with my squadron, there's a little bit of competitiveness, which is great. And so it's been able to really create community, even though we're virtual and we're super far apart. You know, we had a stay-at-home or shelter-in-place order here in Florida a couple months ago. But veterans are still able to connect virtually, which is really important because especially if you're dealing with pain, you might also have some mental, emotional, co-occurring stuff going on. And by allowing yourself to deal with whatever life has thrown at you on your yoga mat teaches you how to deal with it off your yoga mat. So, like I said, I'm a nicer wife, if you will, just because I'm able to kind of deal with my stress and my anxieties on my yoga mat. But that translates directly to my fellow veterans. Friends, they're able to deal with their pain and their anxieties on their yoga mat. So when they get off their mat, in COVID or out of COVID, they're able to really to become a better community member and help other veterans and help themselves, which is really important.
Do you think that the Department of Veteran Affairs fully appreciates and utilizes yoga as something that can help benefit veterans?
I know yoga isn't really on everybody's priority list, and I totally get that. And so I think that when you're tackling problems inside the Department of Veterans Affairs, I think there's a lot larger priorities. But I do know that the VA is looking to do the more holistic health model for veterans, and yoga is part of that. I was part of a group that wrote up brought yoga to the VA and was able to really learn from major leaders in the VA and other yoga teachers and practitioners who are bringing yoga to the VA. So there's a lot of acceptance of yoga and the impact that yoga has on veterans who are struggling with their mental health. And what Yoga for Change has been able to do is we actually studied our program in a quantitative and qualitative way. And what I mean by that is we're able to actually prove the post-traumatic growth that yoga creates in individuals, and that allows people to see the data and see the actual science results that prove that yoga can increase emotional intelligence and awareness, healthy coping skills, and post-traumatic growth. And for a veteran who may not say, I have PTSD, because obviously not everyone in the world has PTSD, but for a veteran who has gone through a stressful situation, or a veteran who currently is home dealing with pain, having an ability to participate in a program either through the VA or through other, there's a lot of yoga service organizations who specifically target veterans. It just allows veterans to deal with whatever they're dealing with in a different way, right? Not reaching for a bottle or a pill or high-risk behaviors, instead trying to to choose to move their bodies to feel better. And that's hard, right? Like, who wants to do yoga unless you actually, you know, the hardest part is showing up. And so that's sort of where the education is, that it's not, yoga isn't necessarily made for, you know, women on beaches doing handstands or putting their legs behind their head. Yoga is able to, you know, meet anybody where they are, be it in a chair, a wheelchair, on the floor, you know, high activity, or just trying to go back to sleep. So there's a lot of different types.
What about the programs, and I realize that the COVID situation may have affected there as well, but for vulnerable youth or those men and women that are incarcerated or those suffering from substance abuse, what can you tell us about the role of yoga for those individuals?
Well, COVID has allowed us actually to expand both geographically and other facilities or partner facilities. So one story I have is we were able to work with a group out of Maryland, and a lot of those children are dealing with extreme poverty, and their parents are utilizing substances illegally. And so we had a class, and there were three children who the teacher was teaching. They're part of a class, and you could tell that the kids were in the same closet or a very small area, because there was a lot of like microphone reverbing and echoing. And so the teacher kind of stayed on with them to try to figure it out. And while they're figuring it out, the teacher realized that they're in a closet together, because they don't want to go out of the closet because their parents are using drugs.
Oh, wow.
So with that knowledge, you know, obviously, you have to call CPS and social services and call the organization you're working with, right? There's a lot of, like, because we are mandated reporters. But at the same time, it kind of brings it down to, like, I may not be struggling right now with COVID. I may get a paycheck, but I don't even know what my next-door neighbors, what they're dealing with. And with our program, where that's been able to really show both our teachers and our program managers and our facility managers, we can teach kids that it's okay what's going on around them. They can still create peace inside their bodies. Because once we are exposed to something where our adrenaline is released in our body, like that chemical release of adrenaline, that fight, flight, freeze response,
right.
A healthy adult, it takes between 24 and 48 hours for those chemicals to be dispelled without any sort of movement or intentionality behind them. With children, it takes longer. And that's if they, if they have an unhealthy diet, or, they're scared all the time, the chemicals continue to be released. And so with yoga, what yoga is doing is it's allowing the parasympathetic nervous system, so that release, that renew response, that rest renew response, to be engaged on purpose. And once you can teach children and adults and people who are struggling with substance abuse, or veterans struggling with PTSD who've been triggered, once you can teach individuals how to actually control their own parasympathetic nervous system, then we can start to actually create massive shift in behavior. And once you can change somebody's behavior, you can change, they can change their own outcome. So that's what we're really trying to do, is teach individuals ways that they can actually, without reaching for that anti-anxiety medicine or that alcohol drink that's going to slow, their nervous system. If we can teach people how to breathe or move, then they have the power within themselves to actually get out of whatever stress response they have. Now, everybody has a stress response, right? Like, somebody cuts you off in traffic, adrenaline is released. And that's good. We want stress. But what we also want to know is, how can we as humans engage that other side so that we actually can go to sleep and sleep through the night? So we actually can, restore our body and heal. And that's what our program is geared for.
I see. Well, that's an amazing benefit. I would think that people need to learn about, and I think it's great that your organization is doing all that it does to promote yoga, and I hope it can reach out to more people. What advice do you have for veterans and their families at this point? In other words, let's say a veteran or their family members aren't familiar with yoga. What's really the first step and what can they expect so that they hopefully will be motivated to stick with it and develop it as a habit that, that can change their life. Any advice you have for them?
Yes, sir. So the first step is just choosing to participate, and that's really the hardest step. Pre-COVID or after COVID, the hardest part is showing up, right, is actually going to a yoga studio. And that's scary, right? Especially, I mean, I have fellow pilots that I flew with who, when I was teaching in studios, you know, I'd say, hey, you know, come to my yoga class. I'll buy you a beer afterwards. And they're like, well, I'm not, you know, that's for women. That's not for me. And I get it. Like, I was that person who believed that it was only for, you know, housewives who had extra time and money on their hands. And I was totally wrong, but I know the misconception, and so it's totally okay to have the conception. What's great about COVID is you can do, I mean, I don't know if your yoga studios are open near you, but here you might be a little apprehensive to walk into a place that you don't know. So we, Yoga for Change, actually have a YouTube channel, and we have videos that are loaded every week. Right now, we have hundreds of videos of yoga meditation and yoga for all levels. So the first step would be really just trying out the different types of yoga. Because like I said, there's chair yoga, there's yoga for sleeping, there's yoga for pain, there's yoga for, you know, if you're sitting behind a desk, there's yoga for back pain, there's yoga for everything. And then there's also that mindfulness or meditation component as well. So there's a lot of different opportunities on our YouTube station specifically to get people to understand a little bit more about what it would be like if you went to a yoga studio. And then if you really like what you're taking in or what you're practicing, message us, you know, email us, info@y4c.org, the letter Y, the number 4, the letter C.org, info@y4c.org, and we can give you recommendations of either other types of yoga studios near you that we know of, because although we're just based in Florida, because of the work that I'm able to do, I am well aware of a lot of different organizations that serve veterans. But there's also different types of classes that Yoga for Change offers specifically to veterans for free. Because another thing is, right now with COVID and unemployment and just the apprehensiveness of trying something new because you don't know really what tomorrow will hold, there's a lot of organizations across the country, because of all the scientific data and proof about how yoga is so effective, that do offer classes for veterans for free. So if you have any questions, feel free to email us, but try out our YouTube station, because we're creating the resources for communities because we know it works. And we have donors that specifically donate to get more content up on our YouTube station. Nothing, we don't charge our students at all. We might charge different, we do charge program fees when we have long-term relationship with like Canines for Warriors. I don't know if you know of that organization. It's an amazing organization that brings canines to, you know, veterans who are struggling. But we do yoga with them. We do yoga with Wounded Warrior. And so they pay for the program to be offered to their veterans. And so we have a lot of relationship and partnerships with different organizations across the country and here in Florida to make sure that veterans who are struggling don't have to struggle alone. And that's what I found as I was getting out of the service. That's what I found to be so difficult, is I don't know the resources that are available to me. And if you're listening right now and you're struggling right now, please reach out to us, because we would love to assist you in finding peace within yourself, so that you have a better frame of mind and you have better concentration and compartmentalizing skills so that then you can achieve whatever you want to achieve in your own life.
Well, Catherine, I'd like our listeners to, if they're able to, help support your organization. You mentioned donations because, you know, your services for the most part are free to veterans. How can our listeners donate to help your organization, Yoga for Change?
Well, we take donations in any way, shape, or form that people want to give them to us. So you can do it online at our website, y4c.org. /donate. That's the letter Y, the number 4, the letter C.org/donate. And we also take them through Venmo, and that's yoga-change, yoga-change, change. And so that's two really easy ways. There is a campaign that we're doing right now through Global Giving, that if you do some monthly donations, they will be matched. But it's hard, that's a hard sort of address to share, you know, over the radio. So the easiest way would be through Venmo, yoga-change, or online, y4c.org/donate. And you can also find us on Facebook. And we have a different, as I said, we're across the state of Florida, so if you just looked up on Facebook, Yoga for Change, the number four, you'll see Yoga for Change Jacksonville, Yoga for Change South Florida, Tampa, and there's different ways to donate through Facebook, too. So a couple different ways. Any questions, you can email info@y4c.org. I am the one that texts that email, so you're basically emailing me, and I would love to help any veteran who's struggling right now. Just a couple weeks ago, actually, a veteran caregiver, so a veteran and a caregiver whose wife is struggling with military sexual trauma reached out because they're having a really hard time right now, and he knew that yoga was really beneficial for his partner. So I know people are struggling given the current situation, and I feel them, and I if there's anything that we can do as an organization or me personally, please do not hesitate to reach out, because I'm lucky to have found yoga, and if I can share that, that's why I started Yoga for Change. If I can share that with other veterans, I'm happy to do so.
That's awesome. And Catherine, I'd like to thank you very much for being on our show this evening. Before we go, anything else you'd like to add, or let me also open up to Rick Hurley in case he has any questions or comments. I know he's been a yoga fan in the past. Rick?
Yeah, Catherine, I've enjoyed the interview. I've just been sitting back and listening. You definitely cover all the points. Yoga is where it's at. I don't know what more to say than that. I have so many examples of watching people get into yoga. I try to get people into yoga. My brother's been doing yoga since like 1980, 81. Mm. In fact, one of the great stories about him, and I think this is one worth mentioning, is that he had severe back problems. I mean, severe back problems where he was literally crawling to the john. And back when I practiced law up in New Jersey, I had handled some medical malpractice cases, not a lot. And I kept telling them, whatever you do, avoid the knife. Stay away from surgery if you can do it. And he used yoga to fix himself. And to this day, you know, he stands on his head for hours. And it's all because of yoga. I mean, you know, he got up and you never know that he had a back problem. And his back problem was as severe as anything I'd ever seen. And most people would have had surgery. And he didn't, you know, he just used yoga and it worked. So, my hat is off to you. I think you're doing a great job, and, you know, both physically and mentally. You know, I think you mentioned this, you know, one of the big things about yoga is the whole breathing, the importance of breathing during yoga.
Yes, sir.
I think that's so important, especially for our veterans who have PTSD, anxiety, and depression, just to get that inner self, inner connection to yourself by just learning to breathe. And you think it's easy, but it's not as easy as you might think, you know?
And I love the story of your brother because he also didn't get opioids, right? And that's what we found with a lot of our students.
That's correct.
They've been in extreme chronic pain, and maybe if they went to a surgery, they didn't. But a lot of the people that we see who are in recovery right now didn't obviously wake up one morning and think, you know, 5 years from now, I want to be addicted to opioids. It was a slow build just to get rid of the physical pain, which also causes that co-occurring emotional mental issue, right? Like, I can't achieve. I have to crawl to go to the bathroom. I mean, that's demoralizing. I know as someone who lives with pain just how much of a burden I felt like I was just for my partner, you know, just having, you know, just being in pain all the time. And so yoga gave me a freedom of being able to achieve on my mat and being able to realize that I actually have control over my own breath and over my own body. And it's work, right? You do got to show up. You do have to practice yoga for it to work. But once you get through that initial part of showing up, you feel the benefits immediately, and it's shocking. It's just shocking how much it works. And you got to get past showing up and feeling silly in your first yoga classes, which is why we started a YouTube station, so you never have to feel silly in any yoga classes because you're in the privacy of your own home, you know, choosing to put yourself first for however long you're able to practice. So I'm so glad your brother's not in pain.
No,
we're
not. In recovery, for most recovery, inpatient recovery centers for alcohol and drugs, and I myself am 13 years sober, and I started that, my journey, putting myself in recovery, and we were required 3 days a week to go to yoga.
Mm.
And, you know, I'll never forget that first week watching, I think there were 15, 20 of us in the same, sharing the same house. And here we have all these recovering alcoholics and detoxing people, and you're trying to do yoga. And the laughs we had was the best. I'll never forget how much we laughed the entire time because we were just all out there. We didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
But by the end of the time that you were there, and depending on how long you wanted to stay there, you got more and more into it, and you really understood the benefits. And but it got me on my, you know, helped me on my road to recovery as well. And we have a there's a program out in Houston, Texas called Camp Hope, which is a spiritual based program for primarily combat veterans struggling with PTSD, and we've run some shows on that program, and we've sent some of our veterans to that program, and yoga is a big part of that program,
mm-hmm.
Just like any recovery center. All the veterans it's mandatory. It's like going to group therapy,
mm-hmm.
And I think they do it at least three times a week. Mandatory, and then I think they run the yoga classes 7 days a week for anyone who wants to do more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the right thing going on, and appreciate you sharing, you know, all your stories and everything you're doing. And Florida's going to miss you when you get out to Oregon, but
yes, sir.
Like you said, you've got everything on the live wire, so you can hook in wherever you are.
Yes, we are currently searching for a new executive director. I never created an organization that I wanted to be, you know, only as big as I could lead. I founded the organization in 2014, and now we're across the state of Florida, and we have a lot of 50 contractors working for us, 5 employees, and it's time for another leader to kind of step in, a little change of command, if you will. So if your listeners, if there's a listener out there that, like, I think I could lead a nonprofit organization doing this work, I'd love to hand it off to another veteran, to be quite frank. Because mm-hmm. veterans are just, as a veteran, married to a veteran, married to a reserve helicopter pilot, I'd love to help my fellow veterans by giving another job to a veteran, so. If any listeners out there is interested, please do also email info@y4c.org. So,
yeah, that's great. That would be terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, Catherine, thanks again so much for being with us on the Veterans News Hour, and for all the great work that you and members of your organization are doing to help veterans and other people. And we wish you continued success, and then as you move on to your next opportunities. And before we go, one more time, if you could remind our listeners of the website and how they can donate.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you again for having me on. The website is y4c.org, the letter Y, the number 4, the letter C.org, and that is /donate to donate. Everything's on that page, and then either or through Venmo, yoga-change. And any questions, please email us at info@y4c.org. And thank you both for having me back on. It's been an honor. It's kind of fun to kind of check back in after a couple of years have gone by. So thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
When you get out to Oregon, we'll put you back on again.
Okay, great. I would love to update you as to my new life.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, take care and best of luck and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Catherine.
Yes, you too. Happy holidays and thank you again both for having me on the Veterans Network Hour. Thank you.
Take care. Well, thanks again to Catherine Thomas for being our special guest, and organization is Yoga for Change, website y4c.org. If you can donate, it's an outstanding organization. I encourage you to do so. Rick, before we go to our second segment, anything you'd like to add?
No, you know, just, you know, her topic, the whole yoga thing, I know we laugh kind of, and maybe we don't take it as seriously as we should, but it really, really is something that any veteran who's suffering, whether it's some physical issues with your back, you know, your legs, your shoulders, your neck, or, you know, the mental, you got some depression, anxiety, or PTSD, you really should give yoga a good looking at. I'm not sure if the VA runs any programs there, but they're all over the place, and you can hook in with Catherine's group. It may sound silly to a lot of guys, you know, putting on these little, you know, shorts and stuff and sitting around with a bunch of people and doing these yoga poses. But, you know, when you really get into it and you start and you take it seriously, you know, every pose has a purpose. And part of it, and a lot of it, has to do with the whole breathing exercise. And when you start to do that, you'd be amazed at how you can fix your body and fix your mind. Definitely, you know, give it a try. That's all I can say, David. You know, give it a try, because I think the benefits are there, and it's not some crazy program, crazy thing.
It's a great thing, and I think Catherine, you know, is an excellent ambassador, basically, for it, in describing how it brought a lot of positive changes to her life. So her organization, called Yoga for Change, you know, is yoga for positive change. It has done a lot for her, for other veterans, for a lot of people. So, check it out. And she said they've got a YouTube channel under Yoga for Change. So you can check it out, learn more about it, and to kind of get past that initial hurdle of misconception. So, okay, let's go to our second segment, because we have some important news from the VA and other organizations. Got a couple things to report. But, Rick,
I got something here, David. Yeah, I'd like to talk about Solid Start. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is personally calling every newly separated service member three times during their first year of separation, from help getting a home loan to health care to returning to work to mental health support. The VA is reaching out to veterans that they know their rights and benefits. So if you are a veteran who recently left active duty, VA representatives will be reaching out to help you better understand the benefits available to you and help you get a solid start on your civilian life. So be sure to take the call. The VA announced on December 2nd, 2020, as VA Solid Start program celebrates its one-year anniversary. The Veteran Benefits Administration connected with nearly 70,000 newly separated service members. Annually, the program aims to proactively contact veterans three times during the first year of transition from military to civilian life at the 90, 180, and 360-day mark after separation. The department's efforts have been effective, said VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. Approximately 124,000 service members separated from the military in fiscal year 2020. Nearly 60% of those veterans called, answered, resulting in VA connecting recently separated veterans to earn VA benefits, including helping veterans in crisis immediately connecting with suicide prevention specialists. VA, in collaboration with the Department of Defense and Homeland Security, launched VA Solid Start December 2019 in response to Executive Order EO-13822, supporting our veterans during their transition from uniform service to civilian life. The executive order was issued to improve transitioning service members' mental health care and access to suicide prevention resources in the year following discharge and separation or retirement. If a veteran has separated from the military in the past 90 days and has not been contacted by VA Solid Start, call 1-800-827-1000 to reach a trained VA Solid Start representative. Again, 1-800-827-1000 to reach a trained VA Solid Start representative. David, on this, this is an important story. I know you take the same calls from veterans when they call us up about, you know, looking for benefits. And I can't tell you how many times I talk to veterans and I ask them if they've gone to the VA, and their response is, yes, I tried, but it just seems that the door was shut. And you know, they, rather than encouraging me to seek benefits, they're discouraging me, and they're not being helpful at all. So hopefully this Solid Start program is a step in the right direction, because it's very shameful for any veteran who is seeking some, you know, benefits, some help, H-E-L-P, help from the VA, which they believe is part of their military extension of their services, to be discouraged from getting benefits. So, again, that Solid Start program, if they have not contacted you, then you contact them. That's at 1-800-827-1000. It seems like every 90 days they're supposed to be reaching out to you. Your first 90 days out, then 180 days out, they're supposed to be contacting you. So back to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. Another big thing that's on everyone's mind, obviously, is the COVID-19 pandemic. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs announced on December the 10th a preliminary plan for distributing COVID-19 vaccinations that it will implement once the Food and Drug Administration issues an emergency use authorization for the vaccine. And I saw on the nightly news tonight that the vaccine was already going out and was being given to frontline healthcare workers. In the press release from the VA, the VA announced that it was working in close coordination with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and also Operation Warp Speed to plan for COVID-19 vaccination of VA staff and veterans. The VA will first provide vaccinations to frontline VA healthcare workers and veterans residing in long-term care units, and they're going to do so, the first step, in 37 of its medical centers across the country. Those centers were chosen based on their ability to vaccinate large numbers of people and also to store the vaccines at the required temperatures, which are extremely low temperatures. Healthcare workers will be among the first to receive vaccinations because they're at high risk for contracting and spreading COVID-19 to other staff members and patients. And their health, obviously, is critical to ensuring the continued care of veterans. Veterans in VA long-term care facilities will be the first patient group to be vaccinated. And as vaccine supplies increase, additional veterans will receive vaccinations based on factors such as age, existing health problems, and other considerations that increase the risk of severe illness or death from COVID-19. Now, the VA anticipates a limited vaccine supply immediately after FDA's approval, but expects more supplies to be available in short order. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said, and I quote, "VA is well prepared and positioned to begin COVID-19 vaccinations. Our ultimate goal is to offer it to all veterans and employees who want to be vaccinated," unquote. Now, the initial 37 VA sites chosen for the initial distribution of the vaccine will closely monitor patients and staff for side effects and log this information in its vaccine monitoring and tracking system. This is the same system the VA uses to monitor reactions to all vaccines, including those for the flu and shingles. And the VA will report directly to the CDC data on all vaccine doses administered by the VA, and the department will also provide general public updates on the number of people who received the vaccination at the site, similar to how VA posts COVID-19 testing figures. Now, the 37 facilities, and I'll run through them real quickly for those of you out there, listeners across the country, to see which ones might be close to you. The initial 37 VA sites include Birmingham, Alabama, Phoenix, Arizona, the greater Los Angeles area, Palo Alto, California, eastern Colorado, Connecticut or the West Haven campus, Washington, D.C., VA health system, the Orlando, Florida healthcare system, Augusta, Georgia, the Edward J. Hines Jr. Hospital in Illinois, Lexington, Kentucky, Southeast Louisiana, which is New Orleans, Maryland, centered in Baltimore, Bedford, Massachusetts, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Minneapolis, the Harry S. Truman Memorial Hospital in Columbia, Missouri, St. Louis, Omaha, Nebraska, Southern Nevada, the Raymond G. Murphy Center in New Mexico, the New York Harbor or Brooklyn VA Medical Center, Western New York and Buffalo, Durham, North Carolina, Cleveland, Ohio, Oklahoma City, Portland, Oregon, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Puerto Rico, Memphis, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Richmond, Virginia, Puget Sound, and last but not least, Milwaukee. Now, that sounds like a long list, but it's actually just a fraction of all the VA healthcare facilities out there. If you want additional information to keep track of how the VA is implementing this plan, go to va.gov and look for the running news header on the COVID-19. You can also contact your care team at your local VA clinic or medical facility, or visit that facility's website. Okay, Rick, back over to you.
Yeah, I'd just like to put out there that President-elect Biden has announced that he's going to nominate Dennis McDonough as the next VA secretary. Dennis McDonough is a longtime chief of staff to Obama, and he apparently, he, as they say, he knows government well, and hopefully he'll be able to do some good work as the new VA secretary. He's only going to be the second non-medical head of the VA, which I never knew. I didn't realize.
You mean non-veteran, not non-medical. There have been lots of non-medical, but you mean probably he's a second non-veteran VA or secretary.
Non-veteran, yeah. But I know Shulkin just came out and praised the appointment. So hopefully, you know, who knows? It's a tough department, and there's a lot of waters to navigate.
And well, I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, his background apparently is more in foreign service. He's not a veteran, as you said, and his dealings with the VA have only really been indirectly whenever he was chief of staff for President Obama. You know, as a chief of staff, obviously, issues from all the government agencies and departments come across his desk on the way to the president. But I read a press release from Veteran Warriors. We've had Lauren Price and others from that organization on our show in the past, including last week, that was expressing some concern. Nothing personal against Mr. McDonough. I'm sure he's well qualified to be successful in many other things, but it was challenging, basically, what his lack of experience with veteran issues. So we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, we're down to our last couple minutes of the show. Before, Rick, you do the coaching and care, I just want to mention a week ago Monday, retired Air Force General Chuck Yeager passed away at the age of 97. He was, as most of our listeners know, famous for being the first pilot in history confirmed to have exceeded the speed of sound. That was back in 1947. If you ever have a chance, read his autobiography called Yeager. I've read it a couple times over the course of a couple decades. I'd read it, and then years later, I'd reread it. It's just a fascinating book. He was a veteran of World War II, Korea, Vietnam. It's just a very, very exciting book to read, and he lived such an extraordinary life. So he's someone that really a national treasure. Okay, Rick, over to you.
Yeah, on the Chuck Yeager, one of our clients who lives in West Virginia is Chuck Yeager's second cousin. He's 83. He's a Vietnam veteran, and we were talking last week about some Chuck Yeager stories and some of the way he used to fly around and fly underneath some of the bridges in the West Virginia area, and everybody kind of knew who it was, but they never caught him. And he said he had some great stories, but he also said the same thing. He said, if you want to read a great story, read that book.
Oh, absolutely. It's a quick read. It's many hundreds of pages, but it's a real page turner. I mean, it's
yeah.
And It's a great book to read. And I actually, in representing a veteran about 20 years ago in a case, a veteran who was being kicked out with so-called bad paper, I actually quoted from Chuck Yeager's own life story, things in his book, as mitigating factor, because Chuck Yeager, when you read the book, you're going to know he was a bit of a hellraiser and certainly did a lot of things in his career that in today's one-mistake Air Force would have gotten him court-martialed several times. But he survived, and he's got to be. When you read his book and read his achievements, it's amazing he lived to be 97 years old. All the times he could have died as a test pilot, et cetera. So, yeah, get his book and read it. Okay, we're about out of time, Rick. We've got to wrap up.
Well, okay, we got the coaching and the care to talk about. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching and the Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Call the program at 1-888-823-7458. It's ours, our Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, that number is 1-888-823-7458. I'd like to once again remind everybody that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. That number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. That number again at the Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Well, it's time for us to go. I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour. I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. Hope you all stay safe and stay healthy and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.